They were wonderful, and all the children that would like to go to children's church can meet Miss Lakin in the back. Last week, we began a series of messages entitled The Nativity of Christ. And again, we understand the nativity to mean the circumstances or the process surrounding one's birth. Today, for just a few moments, as they've already told the story, but we're going to consider the faith of Mary and what made her so remarkable. And that's what we want to discover this morning in this message entitled The Faith of Mary. I'd like you to be finding in God's precious word this morning the very first chapter of Luke. Luke's gospel is the third book in the New Testament. Find chapter 1 there if you can, and then find the 26th verse, and then if you would arise as we honor the Lord with the reading of his word this morning from Luke, the first chapter, beginning in the 26th verse. The word of our Lord says unto us, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Well, Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word today and for your scripture unto us. And Lord, we just pray that we have a ear to hear and a heart to receive the message that you have given unto us today. Lord, we just pray your grace and your mercy be upon us. And Father, we say thank you for these little children that bring such joy to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to understand something this morning, that in the Annunciation of by the angel Gabriel to Mary, that she is to become the mother of God's own son, we discover that Mary was called to a unique discipleship. Hers was going to be a discipleship that no other woman would ever have. Now I'm going to ask a question, and I pray you not be like the 13-year-old boy who stood up in the back, and I'll tell you what he shouted in just a moment. But I would like to ask all of the men here this morning, how many of you have women figured out? Now that 13-year-old boy, when I asked that question a few years ago, stood up in the back and he said, I've got them figured out. And I said, well, Matthew, say on. And he said, God gave us women so they could spend all our money. Well, that's not what God gave us women for, but I think every man can attest to this. Trying to figure out women will drive you nuts. Amen? And I think we just need to accept that fact. We're never going to be able to understand how a woman thinks and why they do the things that they do, but I do know there are certain things that we can understand about women, and I've learned all that I've learned from my wife. For example, she always wants to know why things are going to happen, what's to be expected, what the desired outcome is to be. She asks questions, lots of questions. And then I ask her why she needs to know every detail. Because I do. when it comes to going somewhere, she wants a, well, she still wants a paper map. She wants to chart everything, look at everything. She wants to know the route, the plan, the whole bit. Myself, I just want to get in the car and go. I figure we can figure it out as we move along. When it comes to putting things together, I look at the picture. She gets in the box, pulls out the directions. I said, what are you looking at them for? It looks like this. But we're different. Men are visual, women are not. They want the security of knowing. I've come to understand this. They want the security of knowing the plan, the path, and the assurance of an outcome. And again, allow me to ask the ladies here this morning a question. I want you to imagine for just a moment being Mary. And you are betrothed to a carpenter named Joseph. You're living in a culture that says you have to be betrothed for 1 year before the consummation of your marriage can take place. You're still in the midst of what we would call in our Western world the engagement period. And you and your husband have not jumped ahead and been intimate with one another. Nor have you been intimate with any other man. You are simply in love, and you are looking forward expectantly to the day when you and Joseph are going to be married. And suddenly, there you are, lost in the bliss of those thoughts, and the angel appears to tell you that God has chosen you to be the vessel through which His holy and His only begotten Son is going to be born. Well, what was it about this Mary that caused her to be the one chosen to bear the Son of God? According to the biblical record that we have, Mary was just a humble village woman living in a small town called Nazareth, a place so insignificant that it caused a man by the name of Nathanael to exclaim, "Can any good come out of Nazareth?" The Bible teaches that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. We also know that Mary's lineage, her heritage, could be traced back to the tribe of Judah, and that she came from the line of David the king, of whom God had promised that his throne would never end. And Gabriel hailed her. He said, "Blessed art thou among women." Did those words refer to her outward beauty or to her inner character? How was it that she came to occupy the highest place among women? Many artists through the centuries have tried to paint a portrait of Mary and her possible beauty. The Holy Scriptures is silent as to how she looked physically, but we do know that she was poor. And from these few words of Scripture, we can understand it is character that matters most. Outward beauty fades with the passing of years, but character, well, that's forever, friends. Character is more important than how we look, though in the vanity of our age, I think we would all agree, we spend an awful lot of time looking in the mirror to see how we look. But character is more important than how we look, because we all know that while you can look good on the outside, a person can still be useless to God because of what's going on the inside. And God only looks at one place for each and every one of us here this morning. He only looks at our heart. God looks within. Man, we all look on the outward character of people, but God looks at the inner character of our heart. And God sees whether there's any beauty there or not. He looks for a character of a man or a woman who's going to live for Him. And again, it's interesting how many a man and woman stress over the way they look on the outside without ever stopping to consider what's going on the inside right here. I think another thing we can look at as we look around this room, because we got some beautiful young people, and I don't know if the little Ed parents know this or not, but around this church I'm known as the Big Ugly. They say I don't look all that great, and that's all right. I don't mind bearing big ugly. But one day what I'm saying to you is all the outward beauty and the handsomeness of men and women is going to fade. And then all that's going to be left is the inward beauty of the heart, or the lack thereof. Like Joseph, whom we discussed last week, it was Mary who the Holy Scripture holds up to every woman in every generation. And the Bible holds up Mary to every woman in every generation because of her virginal modesty, her conjugal fidelity, and the loyalty to her spouse, and the untiring devotedness of being a mother. This is what caused the angel Gabriel to declare her blessed among women. Mary was holy because she obeyed the teachings of the Scriptures. What she had was the Old Testament. We have the whole Word of God. And she had to be also, she had to obey, she had to be a holy virgin because the child she was to bear was to be holy and without sin. When Gabriel declared, "Blessed art thou among women," the angel was recognizing her spiritual fitness to be the vessel through which God's one and only begotten Son would be born. Thus he said to her, "The Lord is with thee," in verse 28. This woman who is to give Jesus birth, whose breast would be his pillow, and who would nurse him and care for him in his infancy, who would guide him through his childhood years, had to be a holy vessel, one that would be fit for the Master's use. Family and friends, the Holy Scriptures teach that God's children are to be holy. Now, to be considered one of God's children, well, that's an interesting question. And a person must come to know God as God says we must come, and we must come to God through repentance and faith. The Christmas story tells the birth of a Savior. The cross tells the death of a Savior. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, gave his life so that he could redeem you and I, sinful humanity, from our sins. And we must come. We must come through repentance. We must receive the gift that Charlotte talked about this morning. And we receive it through repentance and faith. And to repent simply means that we turn from whatever our sin issue might be and we turn to someone, and that someone is Jesus Christ. And Jesus will forgive us for all of our sins. Listen to me. The Bible says all have fallen short and come short of the glory of God. And the cross is our only means of forgiveness and salvation. God says we must come by the way of the cross. We must come repenting of our sins. And as I said, it means we turn from something, whatever that might be, and we turn to Jesus Christ, and then we begin to live for him. We have to be washed in the blood. And Jesus shed his precious blood that you and I could trust in his saving power, and that we could be washed from all of our sins. The Bible says, and we talked about the heart in the beginning, that it is with the heart that man believes unto salvation, and with the mouth man must make his confession. That's how we become one of God's children. And I just wonder for all of us here this morning, have we done that? Have we come by the way of the cross? Listen to me, there's going to come a time when, and death is no respecter of persons, it takes the young as well as the old, there's going to come a time when we're going to leave this world. Are you prepared for eternity? Are you ready to step off into eternity? What if it were today? And the Bible says that no man knows the day or hour. And I pray that you have placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have, then like Mary, you are called to be holy. What does that mean? Means to be set apart for the Master's use. You have now placed your faith and trust in Jesus, and you are living by faith in him, so it's no longer you who lives, but he who lives in you, and you allow him to live through you. God is to rule, and God is to reign in our hearts, and we are to allow him to live his life through us. And Mary, well, she's an example to both men and women. Mary first had to conceive Christ in her heart by faith before she could conceive him in her womb. And thus the scriptures declare in Luke 1:45, blessed is she that believeth. Have you accepted Jesus in your heart as Mary did? The Bible says in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Meaning that Mary was like us. She too had been shaped in iniquity. She too had been born in sin. Advanced as she was to the highest honor and the highest place among women, she retained a deep sense of her personal unworthiness. She knew her need of a Savior, and I pray that you and I know our need of a Savior too. And despite her human weaknesses, God knew her as the most pure, tender, humble, faithful, patient, loving woman in Palestine, and God chose her. I want you to note there's no evidence of skepticism or unbelief in her at the Annunciation. But like I was saying, she a bit like my wife. She wanted to know the answers to the questions in her mind. And so she asked intelligent questions of the angel Gabriel. How could she, a virgin, become a mother, never having known a man? And Gabriel explained how the miracle was going to occur. And then came her display of great faith. Be it unto me according to thy word. Family and friends, in this day when reason seeks to undermine revelation, and the virgin birth is often treated as myth and rejected as a fundamental truth of Christianity, Christians must stand and affirm their faith as Mary did in this initial miracle of Christianity. We must accept by faith that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit as he overshadowed the Virgin Mary when Mary willingly yielded up her body to the Lord Jesus, saying, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the Holy Spirit of God, by his gentle operation, took deity, and he took humanity, and he fused them together and formed the love knot between our Lord's two natures within Mary's being. Therefore, when Jesus came forth from the virgin's womb, it was as the God-man, just as the prophet Isaiah had declared when he wrote some 700 years before this event would take place, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Just as Luke wrote here in our text this morning, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Son of God, deity. Son of man, humanity. While we may not understand what happened when Mary yielded up her body that Christ should be formed within, we must affirm the fact that with God, impossible things are possible. Our God is a God of miracles. And thus we must believe by faith in the miracle of Christ's birth. We cannot account for his perfect holiness and ability to pay the price for all of our sins apart from the virgin birth. If God's Son was not holy, my standing here and preaching today is in vain. We are yet dead in our trespasses, in our sins, and we're without hope and without forgiveness and restoration. But I share with you today that God is holy, and he was born of a holy seed, because with God all things are possible. Think about that. And let me ask you a question this morning. What would it mean for you to be free? What would it mean for you to have salvation? To know that when that time comes, whenever death should knock at your door, whenever you should have to step off into eternity, that you're going to be stepping off into the arms of a loving Savior. I don't know how many of you have ever thought about this before, but have you ever wondered why the cross is like this? It's because the arms of the Savior, they're open wide. God loves you. He loves you unconditionally. There is hope today in Jesus, the same hope that the children sang about this morning. That same gift that God gave is available to all men. All it takes is for you and I to be willing to recognize we've fallen short of God's glory, haven't we? There's not a one of us in here today who's sinless. Not a one of us in here today who hasn't messed up somewhere in life. But there is a God in heaven today, a God who loves us, a God whose arms are open wide, and a God who says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In this world today, oftentimes we think of our rest as being sitting down and doing nothing, kicking the feet back and just doing what we want. That ain't rest. The rest God is speaking about is to know that you have peace with God, that all is well between you and your Maker. And one day, just as Charlotte was sharing, that free gift is available to all. But friend, in order to receive that gift, you've got to reach out. You've got to take it. And no one can do that for you. Only you can reach out and receive Jesus today and be set free and know there is peace between you and your God. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you today for your holy word unto us. And Lord, in just a moment, as Marty comes to lead us in our final hymn, a hymn of decision. Lord, you know what's going on in each one of our lives. You know those who need to come unto Christ and be saved today. You know those who are saved, and yet, Father, they have drifted from you, and they're not living as holy as they ought to live. And yet you say unto all men, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Lord, I pray in this moment of decision today that people would respond, that they'll come and they'll give their heart to Jesus. But Lord, as we stand and as we sing, may we be able to say, "God is good, for he has loved me unconditionally. There is a gift available. Help me to take it." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Marty, if you'll lead us in him, "Just As I Am." And that's how God accepts us. Let's stand and let's sing. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning, you come.